Welcome everyone to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. And of course, this is a Nerd with Balls production. So, we have Brian Tees on the show today. Brian is an artist who's worked on AVP, Alien vs. Predator. And a side note, if you're wondering why we say AVP in the book, and the AVP book series, really, that we're talking about the Alien vs. Predator book series. We're working on a new Predator book dropping in February. You know, Star Wars, a whole bunch of other things. You know, Brian is such a wonderful guy. We covered a little bit of anxiety today and talking about it as artists and world creatives in general, really. We cover it. You know, we talk about, like, one, he gives a little bit of helpful advice. I give a little bit, too. But we also talk a lot about his work as a creative and, you know, being a creative in today's world. We also talk a lot about predators. Because, not, like, sex offender predators, but, like, predator, like, the alien predators. So, we talk a lot about those guys and working and designing them and how Brian designs and what he takes from it. You know, and being a fan of the movies, talk a little about the movies, talk a lot of the stuff. So, hopefully you guys enjoy this predator-filled episode. And, of course, you guys want to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and comicchronicle.podbean.com for more episodes, new episodes, really, every Monday, too. So, you guys can always catch those every new Monday. As well, too, folks, what I definitely want to say is use hashtag the Comic Chronicle Podcast or hashtag Comic Chronicle. If you guys use that hashtag, we know maybe get a shout out in one or two. Help promote the show a little bit. We have high numbers. We want to make them higher. We want to give a lot of the big good things you guys get from the show. We want to share that some more, too. You know, the creativity and the behind the scenes of comics. From one comic guy giving you guys, well, a comic book writer giving you guys a whole bunch more. Thanks for tuning in this episode. I'm going to quit my rambling, and now we're going to tune into my talk with Brian. We are recording because I do the intro later. Welcome to the show, Brian. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Not too shabby. Like, as we talked in the pre-show, well, before the recording, a little bit on the weird side because of things, because of books and whatnot. But, Brian, I gotta say is that you probably have been working a lot recently because it seems like you're always working and working on a project of some kind, to say the least.
This is true.
Yeah.
work is good. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
There's a couple, currently I'm working on Predator with Dark Horse, and there's two other projects that I'm kind of getting going on, but I can't really say a whole lot about those yet, but excited about that too, so.
Fair enough, I love it, and we'll talk about Predator later on, because man, excited for that, but first off, I gotta say is that, like, just looking at your Instagram page, I looked at it, and it's like, you're a man of class, of art, but it also seems like you like to go on a lot of adventures.
I do. I like to live a full life.
Yeah. Which is the best, to say the least. I mean, because you're not gonna want to just sit in a studio all the time. As much as, like, if there's someone listening in a studio right now is like, hey, you piece of shit. No. But, they're like, wait a minute.
No, I mean, I think, like, I got a little bit later start in my career than I think a lot of guys did, and I spent a lot of, probably up to 30, just exploring and going on adventures as much as I could, and I think I hit 30, and I was just like, well, I better get a little bit more serious about this art thing if I'm going to do anything with it, so I don't think I got my real first job till I got a break doing a couple of pages of pencils for Amazing Spider-Man, and then that things just kind of went from there. So,
I did.
Yeah, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see, like, I went on that down to the Bonneville Salt Flats to the Land Speed Records in there for motorcycles, and I'm an avid motorcyclist myself. So,
really, what do you ride?
Right now, I ride a Moto Guzzi V7.
Ooh, nice.
So it's a fun little bike. I kind of miss having a bigger bike, but it's a fun little bike itself. So
I'm in the spot right now where a lot of people who I know who I'd work with bikes on, like dirt bikes or Harleys or anything like that, I think once a Navajo, is I'm at that spot at the moment. This is now the bike podcast, but. I'm kind of curious. Like, I have a car. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. It's like a good place to live to have a bike, you know. But
yeah.
I'm like in the really hot debate of shit. Do I want to get one for the extra payment on it? Because everyone I know who I could maybe ride with or anything else will work on it or anything. They've all got, either one got in an accident and are all wrecked, or two, it's because it's Arizona, or two, because they sold them. So I'm like in that debating thing, like, what do you think? Like, at the moment, as a guy working in the arts and film and comics and working at college, should I wait? Or do you think maybe try to invest in one now?
Why not now? I mean, if you've got the money and you can, why not? I mean, nothing's holding you back except for yourself. So go for it.
That's true. All right. Well, when future records come up, they're like, wait, why'd you get a bike? Listen to the podcast. But
I've been hit like 5 times and I still ride. So, I mean, you've got to love it.
Oh, yeah. It adds to the adventure a little bit, too. And it's like, we're like, well, what happened? We just got right back up and kept going. Because it's what you do in life. You know, you get hit, you get right back up.
Exactly.
So, curious a little bit on your side of things, Brian, is I always like to hear people's origin stories because I think they matter to the person themselves and then also for other people to listen to, because I think origin stories, despite if it's Spider-Man, we know it. We don't fucking need it. But when it comes to people in the arts, we kind of want to know a little bit. So where did you like start with comics, man? What was that one thing where like, or even just art in general, like what was that one thing where like, okay, I want to draw, I want to create, you know, I want to be an artist sort of thing?
So with me, it was a bit of a journey. I was one of those kids that always drew in school and stuff, and actually almost got kicked out of school a couple times during like middle school and high school for drawing things I wasn't supposed to.
What?
It's just, it was like, I think during the beginning of where there started to be like gang violence and stuff in schools, and you know, I was drawing like Punisher and just kind of like just a lot of people shooting and killing and stuff, and it doesn't have the same context as it does now. I mean, back then there wasn't, you know, school shootings or anything like that, but still there was, you know, there was more violence, I think, at a gang level happening around the schools where I was at. Mm. And I think they were worried that I was spreading gang culture, which was furthest from the truth.
You're the propaganda. You're like, I just want to draw art. Here's Punisher.
Just drawing comic book characters. So. that was kind of interesting. But yeah, I did art throughout high school, and I never actually thought of it as a career. It's just something I enjoy doing. Hmm. And I was actually more interested at that point and exploring like criminology. Like at that time, I think I wanted to maybe become like a police detective or something like that. I was interested in mystery and homicide and things like that. And then so I did some work doing loss prevention for it was like Nordstrom or something like that. Yeah, it was Nordstrom. Mm. Was the first job, and it was fun. It was kind of like playing cops and robbers, but it was also highly depressing. You get people, you know, into the office, and it's not like a high priority for the police to come and respond to those calls. So you're waiting for like 3 or 4 hours with those people sometimes, and they just divulge their life stories to you, and it was just really depressing. And it's just like, okay, I don't really want to do this, but it was a decent paycheck, and it was actually my first motorcycle accident that was... I think it was like 19 at the time, and that kind of, I was laid up for about a month, and I started drawing and working on some comic ideas that I had from high school, and that kind of, I was like, you know, I want to pursue this. I am happy doing this, and if I can try doing that, then that's what I'm going to do. And I think that's when I got a little bit more of an approach of life, of just being like, life's short. Take advantage, do what you want to do.
Yeah, which, I mean, sometimes that happens, you know, you get that thing where people always say, oh, nothing good from traumatic experiences. I say sometimes your truer self can come from a traumatic experience because, you know, you sit down, you think about things like, as you said, you think about life, you think about, wait, what's important? Wait, what do I want to do? And obviously if you're doing that, I don't think you're a loss prevention officer. I think you were basically a therapist for criminals. It's really what it seemed like.
Yeah, it's not a... I mean, it's for a lot of guys, it's a stepping stone to going into, like, police force or something like that. Or some guys just do it part-time for whatever. But, yeah, that's... Glad to have left that behind.
Oh, yeah. I honestly got to say, I heard recently an interview with Norman Reedus, who loved writing, too, and he became an artist with like sculptures, like art, like not really comics, but like art, like, you know, painting, sculpture work, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he started doing that when it was, it's very similar to, say, to Lysier. So who knows, maybe he'll end up on The Walking Dead or something like that. But you never know in this weird world. But he got hit by a truck and he was so destroyed, and he used like army toy soldiers as like his art thing. He started like making designs and doing photography and stuff like that with them, and then creating like little sculpture things because he was just so messed up. He was just hiding in a hotel because his face looked like mush. So I was like, wait a minute here, that sounds a lot like that. You got hit by a bike, or you got hit when you're on your, when you're riding, and the next thing you know, you're like, well, I found my true self.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, not everyone gets that opportunity either. I mean, I think that I'm glad I had that experience of doing what I needed to do to survive, and but also waking up with like a heavy heart every day, just feeling like I, like something wasn't quite right. And so I think that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you have that little bit in you, and I think that's what a lot of people struggle to find, especially these days too, where they're just like, we never can. But then a lot of people struggle, but then a lot of people are able to find it due to like online, the internet, social media, all that other jazz, and all the opportunities that are available, you know, like that's really,
I think it's hard to find your own voice in general, like just to figure out who you are as a person. I mean, we grow up and we emulate things that we like, and we're just trying to find a way to fit in and to connect with people. And oftentimes you do it at the expense of yourself. Like, I don't think it's hard to find that true person that's in you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important for everybody. Like, I think that's regardless of what you do, it's, I don't think there's a lot of outlets for it out there right now either. I mean, with especially with the influence of social media and just where our culture is.
Yeah, but I'm agreeing with you on that one there in that sense. And I think though, like once you find that voice, once it's found, because I mean, we both know once we found it, we really truly did, is you just keep rolling with it. You know, once you find that voice of you as like an artist, no matter what it is. Or just overall, say a creative, because I got people from the film industry who listen to the show too, and you know, like, it's just a guy as a creative in general. Once you find that voice and you keep going, there is no stopping. Like, if it's actually truly something you want to do and something you love with a passion truly in your heart, mind, and soul, I think you never really give up on it. And people always come to me like, "Oh, I got out of it. I never went back. Like for 20 something years," and I'm like, "Well, then it wasn't truly for you." Oh, it was. Like, was it though? Because in 20 years. You know, like, fans hit me up all the time and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not for you. Like, what do you actually like doing? Like, what is that thing? Because I think it was Ralph Garman said once, ex-radio host and whatnot. He said, you know, if you like acting and you say you want to be an actor, don't do it. And he tells people that because they will look at him and say, no, fuck you, I'm going to do it. Because that's the motivation thing right there. Is like, oh, don't do it. Because everyone's going to be like, oh, go for it. But the one person says, don't do it. That's the where the gears get grinding. This is where the flame gets ignited. And you're like, wait a minute. No, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be myself. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, at a certain point, you just gotta do it. Like, you can't. There's a lot of people that like to sit around and talk about what they could do and everything. But, you know. Until you actually do it yourself, you're never going to know.
That's true. And I do have to ask you, as a busy guy sort of thing and whatnot, is because you work a lot in comics, as well. I get work in a few series as a writer, and, you know, I work in the film industry and such, and podcasts, and, you know, there's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety and sort of stuff like that. And, you know, I was sometimes, like, asking this with folks, too, who work a lot, is what do you do to help that a little bit? Like, what's that, like, sort of stuff? If you have it, if not, that's fine. That's chill. I get it. But, like, if you...
No, I get, like, you're asking about anxiety?
Yeah, like, a little bit of that. Like, working in the, like, as, a, like, a creative and whatnot and kind of getting with it. Like, what is kind of your things that you do with it? Like, if you get it when working on a project or something like that. Or, as we were saying before the show, like, right now, I'm kind of like, I hope people like this new book as we're recording this podcast, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, I suffer from anxiety, and it's usually with stuff that mentally I know that there's nothing to worry about and everything's fine, but there's just that unknown quality or aspect of things where it like from a mental state, it seems irrational, but from an emotional state, it seems very rational. And I've kind of just, for myself, I've learned that once you just kind of put one foot in front of the other and just kind of go with it, that really not, like, the world's not going to end. You're going to be okay. And, you know, you, people might love your work, they might hate it, and there's always going to be somebody out there that hates your work. And there's going to be a lot of people that love it. So it's, I've just kind of learned through just repetition that, you know, that it'll be okay. And I think if you can exercise and, you know, avoid drinking too much and get enough sleep, just kind of generally taking care of yourself, you're going to be able to handle those things a little bit better. I've gone to excess and different things, and it doesn't help. It's a temporary escape. And yeah, so the healthier you can keep yourself, and just remind yourself that a lot of people feel anxiety, feel anxious about things, and you're not alone, and just, you know,
I like it.
You can do it. Just charge through.
I like it. It was something that I did want to cover a little bit because this guy suffers from it too. You know, like, there's a lot of fans out there and a lot of other people working in the business always like, well, you talk a lot of things. Why not talk about that? It's like, fair enough, you know? So I had to put you on the spot there. I didn't mean to do that at all, but like...
No, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, like, I don't think people talk about it too much. We do a little bit with it, but it's like one of those things where people look upon us as creatives and they say, hey, oh, it's fine. Like, you guys are always 100% fine. You get to do what you want. It's like, yeah, we get to do what we want, but there's also an underside that we're, like, stressed.
Well, yeah, and I think that, I mean, everyone I've ever talked to that's honest about it, there's, no matter how good you are, there is a still an element of self-doubt, which is your greatest enemy. But it's just, you know, we all want to put out the best thing that we possibly can. And I think that your vision and, like, what you can physically do is never as good as what it mentally is. And I think that is a hard thing to kind of come to terms with. And, you know, it's hard not to, you know, you're not really supposed to compare yourself to other people, but it's hard not to. I mean, it's good to be inspired, but it's hard to not, like, look at that and be like, oh, I suck. Like, I can't, you know, why should I even try when this guy's or this woman is doing this thing that's so great? Like, I'm not even ever get close to that.
The self-doubt.
And the self-doubt. Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, I can always guarantee you they went through some similar thought process. And some people aren't ever going to reveal that. But, you know, it's that determination and just, like, sticking with it. And it's like, you know what? It's like, I don't need to be them, but I need to be the best that I can be, and that's what's important. And I think that once you realize that and the confidence grows within yourself, then you're going to excel in ways that you didn't even realize.
I love it. I love it. It's true. Oh, God, it's true. So right there, Ryan, you just helped out so many listeners of ours just with that. It's like therapy. The therapy, I mean, obviously.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, obviously being a therapist for being from your old job really came in handy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
At least I don't have to write a 4-page police report.
Oh, God. See, a little fun fact is, like, you know, I got my day job, obviously working in the arts. I got to have a day job in Arizona because that's how nature of the beast is sometimes, no matter where you go. And I have a day job where, you know, incidents happen. We get, like, at a zoo, basically. I'm not going to say which zoo to avoid fans following me yet again. But, which has happened, believe it or not. And so, when incidents happen there, we got to fill out all those police reports. Oh, my God. It's just annoying. Like, it's one of those things where you look upon and they're like, oh, it's fine. Like, you helped out. It's like, yeah, but let me tell you. They always, it's like filling out a form and you're going to go to court or something like that. It's like, I don't want to do this. This is, I just want to go home. You know? Man.
No, they're no fun.
No. And getting to the, like, you know, a little bit of lighter side things here, I really wanted to ask, man, what is it like? Because are you a fan of Aliens or Predator or anything like that? Because you seem to be doing a little bit of work on the franchise a little bit. So I was kind of curious. Were you a fan before? No.
I'm a fan of both. I'm probably more of a fan of Predator. I remember seeing the movie when I wasn't supposed to, when I was probably like eight or nine.
And, as we all
And I was just like, it just really captured, there was something about that first film where it just, they just did it right. And I think that they've been trying to do it right ever since. And it's a hard, you know, it's kind of its own standalone thing. But if you can try to capture some of that and the you know, the comic stories or whatever, you know, I try to at least visually do that in the books I work on. So, and with this new series, I'm pretty excited about where it's going. So,
hey folks, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is amazing, fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the books. So Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, get yourself a box, you know? Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. His work, all the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics. You know, and you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Drawn the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. So it's a little bit of you get to work on your childhood, to say the least.
Well, I mean, that's kind of working in comics in general. I mean, if you're lucky enough to work on titles of characters that you've liked growing up, then you're extra lucky. I mean, not everyone gets that chance, but I've been very fortunate so far in my career to be able to do that. So,
Well, what is like, that's this one thing that I think it automatically just speaks to people when you're like, oh, like you just say, people like, oh, what are you working on? Like Predator. And they're like, oh my God, this guy's hardcore. He must be doing really good in his career. Or like, oh my God, that's amazing. Because everyone knows it. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, it's not like a series. People are like, oh, who's Nightwing? Oh, who's like, who's this character? It's like, no, Predator. Everyone automatically knows. At least over the age of 10.
Yeah, no, there is, I mean, it's an advantage of working on a, you know, like kind of a movie franchise or a property. Mm. But it's, you know, there's certain characters, like working on a Predator or like a sci-fi book, like you're going to be, or like a sci-fi horror, which is what I've mostly done in my career up to this point. You know, you're drawing similar things over and over again. And so if there's other aspects of things that you want to draw, then you don't get a chance to do that. So it is nice to be able to bounce around a little bit. So I'm hoping that, I love working on Predator. It's been a great opportunity, but I'd like to venture in and do some other things too. So we'll see what happens next.
What's your franchises you want to do then? What's those like dream lists?
What
right
would
now?
I like to do? Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's, there's, oh man.
It's gotta be a list, Brian. Come on. We all have that
well,
list.
It's changed quite a bit because I would actually, so one book I would, like if you asked me 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh, I want to do a Punisher story. Mm. That was one character that I really like wanted to put my own brand on. And now it's like, you know what? I actually would really like to go in and explore the, like if I was going to do like a superhero character, I'd probably like to go in and really have fun with the whole Winter Soldier character and do some really, like, I really, so my first long inking job with Marvel was inking over Butch Geist on the Winter Soldier with Ed Brubaker writing, and I really enjoyed the whole spy, you know, aspect of how it's just like cloak and dagger type stuff, and I really like that aspect of the character, and I think it'd be fun to go back and explore that a little bit more. It's like, it's weird just seeing him in space and doing things that aren't very Winter Soldier-y, and I'm just kind of like, that's cool, but that's just not what I would want to see as a fan. So,
well, I mean, he's got a TV show coming up, so you never know.
He does. You never know. But there's, you know, I grew up with, like, liking, when I first started reading comics was in the late 80s, early 90s, so that was, like, when Wolverine was big, and X-Men, and Spider-Man, and Punisher.
And the time of pouches, really.
Yes, yes, it was the whole Liefeld, McFarlane, Jim Lee era. So I was definitely influenced by all that. And of course, there's like, you know, I've always been a fan of Batman and Superman since I was younger, but I grew up mostly a Marvel guy. But I do like, you know, elements of the DC universe too. I just never was really exposed to it and haven't explored it as much.
Oh, well,
so sorry, that was a long roundabout answer, not really answering anything, but probably... Just throw me on any of the darker Marvel books, and I'd probably be happy.
No, you're good. I mean, it should be noted you are working while doing this, too, so I give you a lot of credit. And people who have been on the show before who work while doing the show, I give a lot of credit to. It's a lot of brain power, but so it's fine. But Winter Soldier would be definitely... I mean, Winter Soldier is a good dark one to do. I mean, he definitely is. I love how you're like, oh, back to the spy route. Because people are like, oh, he's so fun doing all this stuff with the Avengers. It's like, yeah, but he's kind of a solo... It's kind of like he is really like the James Bond meets Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally.
And I don't know, I could definitely see you doing that sort of thing. So like darker Marvel sort of thing, but is it sci-fi a little bit too? Like, do you have any, like maybe an indie property or movie franchise maybe you would like to do?
Yeah, there's some stuff that I really can't talk about, but there's some stuff that I'm talking to a publisher about, which I'd be writing and drawing, and that's, I think, kind of where I would like to see my career go in the next 5 to 10 years is primarily writing and drawing my own stuff.
So your own kind of indie book sort of thing?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, when you say indie, it makes me think of like Scott Pilgrim, but
hardcore.
Not like that, but kind of like my own indie stuff. But I would definitely like to dabble in some Marvel DC land a bit and have fun there. Like, I mean, I don't know what comic book person working professionally would not want to do that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, shit, even myself, I kind of want to dabble in, like, Marvel DC. Everyone's like, but you write good, creative own book. Because I say creative own instead of indie. They're like, you kind of want to at least write one issue of, like, Spider-Man. Or, you know, like, a little bit of childhood. And they're like, you know, it'd be kind of nice to dabble, at least dip a toe into the little fountain over there.
Let's face it. I mean, it's a lot of that really inspired us to want to work in the field to begin with. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, 100% that. I mean, there is 100% we all come from somewhere you liked. I mean, shit, you worked on a Spider-Man book. You said it was your first one?
Yeah, I think it was like The Grim Hunt was the series. It was like a 5 or 6, maybe it was only 4, I don't remember.
I think it was 5.
But there was... I remember there was, I think something was going on with the production and they needed help. And I was assisting Stefano Gaudiano at the time, helping him out just with some general inks here and there. Not like officially, but just kind of like, you know, I'd do some background stuff. And then this situation came up and was like, hey, do you want to... they need somebody to do a couple pages. I've thrown your name in there and, you know, let's see what they say. And so I turned in my layouts. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, do it. And then Stefano inked it to give it the cohesion with the other artists working on the book. And so I kind of got my break doing that. And so after that, I started doing more inking work with Marvel and stayed an inker for about a year and a half, 2 years before moving to Dark Horse and getting my first real penciling and inking job doing Star Wars Legacy.
Very nice. And that's another, like, giant franchise you touched on. Like, did you get a call, or did they call you into a meeting and like, hey, we want you to work on Star Wars?
No, it's kind of a funny story. So I was at Emerald City, and I was a couple of months out of work, and I was really, I don't work other jobs other than doing freelance illustration. So I just had a couple of months where I was running really, really lean. And it's like, oh man, I don't know if I'm gonna, be able to keep doing this. And had a table at Emerald City, got at the last second. It was run by Jim Demonakis at the time. But anyway, he allowed me there. Someone with the other artists bailed, and I took up shop there and was just doing commissions and had my portfolio out. And the editor for Star Wars came up and looked through my work and asked if I was available, and I was like, yeah. And so offered me a job on the spot, and it's like one of those rare instances, and I was, very fortunate, very lucky. And been working with Dark Horse quite a bit since then.
I couldn't even imagine. You're just sitting there at Emerald, and you're just like, like all that stuff's going on. And then they're like, hey, you want to work on Star Wars, kid? What? wait, what? Like, double take it for a minute there. Like, me? Me?
Yeah, no, it was a bit surreal. I was quite happy. And then I think at the end of the convention, with the amount of adrenaline and stress going through my system, I think the Monday morning after I woke up and threw up
in
the toilet, and then just from all the stress, and then I felt fine. It's like, okay, I'm ready to work now. So
threw up all the bad. It's just time to go. It's like, all
right. That's right. Sometimes you gotta get rid of it. So.
Sometimes a good vomit is all you need, folks. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Sometimes you gotta watch what you say. You never know. But you really do, because there'll be some fan who's like, I faked, I stuck my finger down my throat and vomited. I listened to you, Dakota. Like, why? You idiot.
I would not recommend doing that. This is totally just stress.
Yeah, which,
Not physically induced.
No. Just put that in parentheses. Not physically induced, just stress. And so that Star Wars led you into AVP? And then AVP led you in the Predator?
Yeah, so I had Star Wars did that for 9 issues, I think, before Disney before Lucasfilm, what happened?
Fox? When Lucas Fox got purchased first.
Well, Disney purchased Disney purchased Star Wars, or Lucas, and then so once that happened, Disney was already with Marvel, and so we lost, the license went over to Marvel to do Star Wars, so Dark Horse stopped working on it, and then I think Marvel basically cut all ties with anything that we had done at Dark Horse. So at that point, I had an opportunity to do a creator-owned project, which I was doing, and then there were some issues that kind of came up, and I ended up being put on AVP at that point, or Predator, with the whole life and death thing.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I mean, so they're kind of like, okay, we like this guy. We want to keep Brian. What can we do? And you're like, oh, I just got done working on Star Wars, man. That's some bit of childhood right there. Like, hey, Brian, how do you want to do on Predator? What? it's surreal.
Yeah, no, like I said, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the luck in there. Like, what deity did you pray to? Brian would be like, I want to be able to do my childhood, basically. And it's like, oh, Predator, you witnessed that as a kid. Here you go. And it's Star Wars. Here you go. Oh, man. Now, I'm curious because everyone has their own little design and their kind of like favorite one. Do you have a favorite? Maybe it's one you've done. What's your favorite Predator design?
Oh, Predator design? Yeah. Oh, man. It's probably the one that I'm doing right now.
You cheapskating man.
I mean, it's just because I'm drawing it right now, and it's I was lucky enough on the last series to create a couple of new Predators, and they turned one of them into a Mika did a toy off of it.
Did you get any of those?
I have one. Okay, it's the hornhead Predator.
Whoa,
and man. So it's the first Predator with horns sticking out of his head, and kind of loosely based his costume off of like a samurai armor type inspired design, and gave him a big sword. And so I had fun with that one, but with this one, it's a little bit more beefy, monstrous. I don't know. It feels just really mean, and I really have enjoyed having the opportunity to design another new Predator, and then also just to kind of have a lot of fun with it. So, so that's probably it. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I've loved the first design. It's so iconic that I will always love that, and I always reference that one.
I dig it. I mean, mine on my side is, I mean, those are really cool. I mean, it helps that you were able to work in there, be honest, like, and make your own Predator designs. And I made a toy made of it. But my top two, I think AVPR had a good Predator design in there. It was really hardcore, messed up helmet and stuff like that. And I know no one ever likes to talk about AVPR, but still. And another one, it got released for the Predator toy line recently. And I don't know, it struck a chord. Maybe because ex-military and stuff like that. Maybe it's why. But it's like the Emissary Predator toy. Have you seen it?
I have not.
I think NECA does it. It's a toy. It's basically a combat. It's like, it's basically almost what you'd expect. Like, it's Emissary and stuff. Like, I don't know if it's been in anything as of yet. But it's like if you gave a Predator, like, human tech and kind of mixed it with Predator stuff. And he's got digital camo and things like that. It's, for listeners at home, well, look it up. I cannot give it justice by the description. It's an amazing, I think, 12-inch figure or 6-inch by NECA, I believe. Oh, you're looking it up right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking it up right now, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's a really cool, and I gotta get one for myself. I really do, because it's awesome. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one?
Yep.
Is it in anything? Like, you're the guy who works in Predator Comics right now. Is it been in a comic, or has it been in anything, or is it just one of those toy designs?
It probably has been in something, but it's kind of like, so when I get working on a project, I don't have time to really read a lot of other things or to explore a lot, so I kind of get a little bit of tunnel vision on whatever I'm working on. So I do follow a few things, but I don't. What is this from, though?
That's why I'm curious. Like, what storyline is it from? Because I want to read it. immediately want to read this thing. But I get that. Whenever I like to take a day off when I'm doing script writing for films or comics, it's like, well, where's Dakota? He turned off his phone. If it's on, he's just listening to music, and you're going to go to voicemail. It's like, turn everything off, put on some music, get to work sort of thing. Like, all right, the creative mode is on. It's just, I'm not going to be Jack Nicholson from The Shining if you disrupt me, but I'm not going to be kind of happy.
Yeah. It looks like it was cut from the 2018 film, so it was supposed to be in there, but didn't show up.
Oh, God damn it. What'd you think of that movie, by the way? Because as a Predator fan myself, I love Aliens too, but I love the Predator film.
You loved this last one?
Yeah, I loved it a lot. Like, okay, there was a couple things I was like, on, and based on that reaction to you, I don't think you liked it, did you?
I didn't.
No! Why? Like, I liked it a lot as a Predator movie. I wouldn't say, I take it back. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it a lot. But it wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my favorite. Predator, the first one, still my favorite. But what were the things that you didn't like about it?
The overall plot.
well, just stab it right in the heart at first,
acting,
why don't you?
The acting was horrible.
Yeah.
It was, like, honestly, it's like everyone, like, I think with Shane Black being back on it and the amount of, like, I think there was a lot of excitement about that, and I was genuinely excited.
Yeah.
And then I think after I saw the first trailer, I started to feel pretty doubtful, and then with the amount of reshoots and studio oversight and everything, it's just, I think that you know, anytime you get too much oversight or too much control over any artist, it's going to suffer. And I think that this particular film suffered quite a bit. I mean, there was elements that I liked, but in all honesty, I mean, it was just... And I liked some of the actors that were in there, too. And I was just like, man, like, this is just sad. Like, it was like, it didn't know what it wanted to be. It was a comedy, but it was a Predator film, but it was still a comedy. It kind of felt like a parody of itself. Like, it didn't know what the hell it wanted to be.
Mm.
So, I think in that sense, you know, it failed. That's just my opinion. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I mean, it's
I'm expecting the quote to come in like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It may be shit, but everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. It's like, that's where I go back. People are always going to love something and people are going to hate something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't necessarily hate it, but it's just, I think it's a missed opportunity.
It's true. Okay, I agree with you in that sense, because was it technically a Predator movie? No. And I rewatched it again the other day for Halloween. And I was like, it was on HBO, so I was like, fuck it, why not? I'll put it on. So I rewatched it again. I haven't seen it since theaters. And I'm like, okay, I think I figured it out. Because I'm a giant, like, sci-fi monster horror fan, but, like, even the campy stuff, like, you give me, like, I'll even watch, like, the older Godzilla Criterion. Like...
Oh, yeah. No, that stuff's great. I mean, if something is what it is, it's fine. But
yeah.
When you're taking, you know, I felt like the AVP movie itself had a lot of potential, too.
Yes.
Especially after the comics. And a weird... Like, I like the pyramid aspect, but how they executed and just the direction was just... I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of... I keep saying this, but just missed opportunities. Like, it's just not what I'd want to see. Like,
yeah.
I think I like the second Predator film, too. I thought that was, like, a little bit more in line with what I would think of as a Predator film, and I hope it's just not because I saw them when I was younger. Which might be the case, I don't know. Mm. But, you know, I don't know. I even like the, was it Predators with where they get sent to the planet?
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was pretty good. I think what the problem is now, and what you might not be offended, because I've noticed it, but I'm okay with it, as well, because I mentioned the Godzilla stuff, is we live in a time now where they're like, oh, those monster movies. Ah, you know, people like campy, like late night sci-fi channel stuff, like the giant fire, like lava tarantulas or whatever it was. You know, like, people love that sort of thing. What if you take these monster movies and we give them like that? But it's not what the fans want. Like, you know, I'm okay with it. I'll probably enjoy it. But I think when they make it kind of that B monster movie sort of thing, but you're taking an A monster movie and making it a B monster movie, it's noticed. And I did notice it the second time around. Like, oh, shit. They made it a B movie, but on a high budget, and it's Predator. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, Paul. I mean, that's, yeah. It's, I think that you can do something with those properties and have a smarter script. I think that a lot of times they just focus on, you know, oh, it's this type of movie, so this is what we want to see out of it, rather than, like, why don't we try to elevate this into something even better than what the first one was, if we can. Mm. Like, you know, that attitude is not taken when making these films. And I think that's where the missed opportunity is. It's like, you could do a lot of, there's a lot of great IP out there, and I think they realize that. But how they approach to exploit it, I think there's, I you know, I'm not in on those meetings. I have no idea what takes place, but it just feels like there's a lot of misdirection.
Hey, folks at home, this is your host Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break. Do you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, and do you like getting in-depth interviews with people of, moreover, not interviews, but conversations with people in the businesses? Well, guess what? If you love film and television, go check out the Film World podcast that I host on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and filmworld.podbean.com, because I get to talk to people all over from the business of film and TV, of actors, creature actors, writers, directors, cinematographers, all these people, VFX artists, hell, they all come onto the show. We give in-depth conversations about what they do. People from Jurassic World, Planet of the Apes, Transformers, Godzilla, numerous times, you know, and voice actors. And we give all these in-depth conversations with you guys from all sorts of ranges of different things on the Film World podcast. So if you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, you'll probably like Film World. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. And now back to the conversation at hand. Yeah, I can agree with that. I enjoy what's going on, but there is so much opportunity. I mean, especially like yourself, you work in the comics with it. And if we look at the AVP comics from, I think, the 90s, and then you look at the film, you're like, what the hell? Like, what's going on here? Because the comics, that's what I love. I loved your work in AVP. I love your working on Predator and stuff like this, too, because it's a fan working on, you know, the IP. And the comics themselves have always been so... damn, even Batman and Alien worked. And it's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and all the other DC crossovers with Dark Horse with that. So the comics sometimes have been so much better than some of the movies recently. And it blows my mind away. It's like, how? Like, they started as movies and they went in the comics, but now the comics are better? What the fuck? What's going on here? But it's a weird world we live in with being a Predator fan. And I'm a huge Aliens fan and I'm a huge Predator fan, but I love the comics
more.
Do you
like Aliens more than Predator? Or are you are they on par?
They're on par. They're seriously on par because I love everything about Predator and I love the Aliens. Aliens was first in the fandom because I saw Aliens first before Predator.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Predator and all the aesthetic and how the Predators are, the like little culture thing, like the lore basically. Like, Predators are amazing. Like, it'd be a dream project to work on. I'd work in SFX for films, too, and as an actor, it'd be a dream project to be in a Predator movie or work on a Predator book or be a part of it in any way. Like, that's why I'm like, you're living the dream, Brian, because monster movie nerd is like, oh, monster book? Fuck yeah. Like, even though I'm working on a giant monster book right now, like, I'm working on a kaiju comic that has, like, a couple issues out right now. It's like, I'm like, there's some IP I want to touch. And it may be like Vegas style groping touching, however, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, so I'm kind of curious. There's one question I've never really asked this of anybody on the show before, but I've asked friends of mine and whatnot too who work in a business like Off Record and stuff. But I got to ask, like, as a guy who's a fan of obviously Predators, this is not Predator talk, but in like doing characters and such like that, but say Predators. And you're doing your own. Are you given like the leeway to make it all your own design, or are you given like a set of here's a, like some points we want you to hit and go from there, or is it like the design we want you to just bring?
No, honestly, they say, hey, make this one scarier than the other one. Or,
that's awesome.
But it's you know, I'll do a bunch of. I usually start with like the Predators. I'll just do a bunch of helmet designs and send them, you know, like 6 or 8 or something like that for them to kind of narrow it down. And then it's like process elimination. It's like, well, we like this aspect of this, but we maybe if you add this in. So I like to draw stuff that I want to draw, but then give them kind of a scope of like, well, we like this aspect, and but yeah. Put this and this together, and then so I come up with another revision and send that to them. And that usually, from that point, usually it gets locked down to what direction we're going to go. So, and then from there, I just build the rest of it and I turn that in, and I haven't had to do any revisions on that stuff. So, so yeah, it's a pretty fun, simple, I guess, operation.
Very creative leeway.
Yeah, no, it's creative. I can do just about whatever I want. I mean, it's I try to look at things like I'll look at skulls of different animals or other helmet designs, not like Predator helmet designs, but like armor and different cultures, or things that I might find scary, like elements of different animals or things that I've seen or something that looks aggressive. And so I try to pull from just life experience and just observations I've made.
I love it, because I was going to ask, like, that's really good shit to take from, because I was curious. I asked that because I was really curious on, like, what you use to bring a predator, like, what do you use to bring a design to such an iconic character when you're given that leeway? So, like, that's just, because that's a lot of what is, like, research, it seems like. And you just mentioned a little bit, too. Like, it seems like a lot of research when you're like, they're like, okay, give us what design. Like, okay, what am I going to do here? Stuff I love. I love the characters.
No, it's a lot. And there's, like, I also have to go in and look at every other, you know, after I come up with a design that I like, or a theme that I like, I will go through and I try to look for what other people have done with predators, just to see I'm not, like, mimicking or copying what someone else has done, even if it's unintentional. You know, it's just like, oh, well, someone already thought of this concept, so I'm going to do something else with it, or I'm going to scratch that and come up with something completely new. So, you know, I will do that, where I'm, like, looking to see, because some people have come up with some really, really cool shit where I'm just like, wow.
Emissary
like
Predator?
Some of the sculptures that I've seen out there are just, like, phenomenal. Like, just blows me away. So, props to those guys.
And the fans, I think a lot of, it counts kind of in the sculpture side of things, is NECA themselves. Like, there's so much, like, inspiration you can take from those, too. Like, those NECA toys. I don't know if you've ever, like, dove into those. Like, all the ones that aren't canon. Like, they're not really canon, but they're, like aliens. They do, like, the queen face hugger or something like that. Or, like, the gorilla alien. But Predator does trillions of extra designs that are not in books or movies or anything like that. So, I think there's so many. Have you ever looked at those, though?
Yeah. No, there's some really cool stuff. I think just sometimes for lighting reference, I'll use, I have the original, like, the movie Predator, and then the one that I designed for the NECA toys. And I'll just, like, sometimes if I want to see how, you know, light will reflect or shadows will be cast or things like that, then I'll just pull those out and kind of use them as a reference tool.
Very nice. Do you do that often or no? Or is it one of those, like, kind of special occasions sort of thing?
If I need to use it, then I will, or if not, then I don't. But it just kind of depends on the scene, like, if it's whatever I'm drawing, whatever panel the panel needs to see, then I'll use reference. But
very nice.
I think now I'm trying to, I was really earlier on in my career really heavily influenced by photo reference, including that in my work, and now I'm much more interested in you know, having my own interpretation of, not like changing it, but not like necessarily just like dropping in a photo in the background and doing something with it, you know. I'd rather see and also in characters' faces, this more character, it's a comic book, so I feel like you should really use the art form to its maximum advantage, and that's not necessarily doing photorealistic art in comics. Like, I think when I first got into comics, I was more drawn to that, and now I'm much more, I think, drawn into people that can convey mood and emotion and things like that through, I don't want to say cartoony, but more comic book, you know, with quotations around it, style to it, you know.
Dang it, I love it. I was just curious, because I know some people do love to do that sort of stuff, so I was just curious, like, if it is one of those things, because I know James, I'm drawing a blank on his name, James Gurney, I believe it is, who did, like, the Dinotopia. That's how he did all this stuff for his books. And so he did, like, photo reference, all this, like, he'd be, his kids or something like that, dress up in cardboard suits, and next thing you know, it's like, here's a, like, a guy in a leather suit riding a pterosaur, and it's like, what the shit? Like, so that stuff just always blows me away when artists like yourself do that. So, like, use those models and, like, turn it into something so beautiful on the page or on the screen, depending. Like, that's also one other thing.
Yep.
We're taking a consensus here on the show, and fans have always been very curious, because I get people who ask me, like, fuck, I don't know. I'm not an artist. But what is easier? Because this is seriously a big fan question. What is easier to do? Is it easier to do, say you're doing a Predator, or maybe you're doing Spider-Man or something like that. What is easier to do, digital or pen paper?
Oh, man. It depends whatever you're more efficient with. I mean, it's really, it depends on artist. There's, I know a lot of guys that have gone to working in digital because it is faster for them. And there's a bit of a time where it's a learning curve where you're getting to know everything, but I think that for certain people, they can find a way to do what they did on pen and paper and transfer it to digital and have it look virtually the same. For me personally, I still, you know, I have this antique, but I barely ever use it. It's, I, you know, studied as a fine artist and, was actually going to be a painter for, that's where my career was going to go. And, you know, I had a gallery in San Francisco, like I went to school down there and was doing well. I was making fairly decent money. But I just, it was that same thing where I just like, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like super happy. And I was just like, well, I need to tell stories. Like I need to work in comics. So, that brought me back up to where I live now in Seattle and, just started, you know, pursuing that avenue. But I've always, like, I still enjoy painting and just having that personal textile feel, the paper and ink and white out and everything else. And that's just part of the process for me. It's like I know how something's going to turn out just with the tools that I'm using. And I'm sure that I get there with if I went digitally, but I also, I hate staring at computer screens, so.
Fair enough.
It's not something I'll probably do anytime soon.
I love it. You're a man of class, Brian, to say it at least. You're a man of class. But, I mean, it makes sense because it's what you're trained to do, and it's the true kind of, well, I don't want to say true artist because that's going to offend a lot of people, but it's a lot of the artistic kind of side there a little bit, like the classic sort of style, and, you know, don't let that go. I love it with a passion. Now,
yeah, and it's like I said, there's no, like,
there's no wrong way.
I'm amazed at what some guys have done that even have a painterly kind of technique and can transfer to digital. It's just like, and they can do it. I'm just like, wow, like, hats off to you. But like I said, it's a personal thing. So if you're inspiring or you're working, and I just feel like, you know, do what works for you. Hit your deadlines. Make people happy.
That's it. Those two big things when working in the arts. Make deadlines and make people happy. Otherwise, yes, you're fucked, kid. now, Brian, we're coming to the end of the show, man. And I definitely want to say thank you for coming on. It's been a blast having you on because this has been like, I don't often get to talk Predator to people, especially an artist who works in the books.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun.
Also, promote yourself, man. What books? I mean, obviously we got Predator coming out in February. This so is like
got,
the end of the thing here,
got
man.
Predator coming out in February. Oh man. I just like, you know, check out Instagram. It's Brian Tease Art or Brian _ Tease _ Art Instagram. I'll probably be posting a little bit more coming up here after when the new year starts. Promoting Predator and other stuff that I've been working on that hopefully I can start talking about a little bit more. Sweet. And yeah, so, and then I'll be doing some con appearances this coming year, Emerald City of course, and then probably San Diego, New York, and maybe some other shows. So
very nice, keeping busy, man.
Yes,
keeping busy. Like,
and also, if you want one last thing, originals or commission inquiries can be made at splashpageart.com. That's my art rep, Mark Hay. So get in contact with him if you're interested in anything. Or if you want, you can reach out to me on Instagram, and we'll get you set up. So
sweet. I might send you something because I'm really, I got a new workshop I'm moving into, and I'm really looking for some really cool art. I might hit you up on that, to say the least here, because I'm like, Brian does some really good shit. Predator, yeah. It's one of those things, yeah, when you move into a new space, you're like, decorate it.
Yeah, and I'm open, so, yeah, hit me up.
Sweet. Alrighty, man. Now, you said they can find you where on Instagram?
I'm just gonna double check, because it's like your phone number. You know it, but you don't know it.
Yeah, it's true. You're like, is it this? And then, like, you look at it and like on a screen or written down, you're like, I don't think that's it. Oh, no. Wait, no, it is.
So it's Brian with an I, underscore T's, T-H-I-E-S, underscore art, Instagram. So
sweet.
Well, folks, and then I'm on Twitter, too. It's the same thing on Twitter.
Love it. Folks at home, go follow Brian, because obviously, if you're listening to the show, obviously, you're a nerd, you like comics, but also, too, stay tuned for the Predator. Do you have a date for that, or is it just February?
It's February 5th. It's the first episode, and it'll be coming out on a monthly basis, so I'm actually inking the second episode right now, and then, yes. Very nice. So I'll probably be wrapping up the artwork on that in March, I'm guessing. March, April, somewhere in there.
I dig it. Folks at home, if you want to follow me, at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter, or at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram. Now, Brian, I can't wait. This may sound like very commercial and whatnot, but I'm honestly, I'm not pulling the dick here at all. I'm extremely excited for this book. When they announced it, I was like, wait, who's attached to this? And I saw your name, like, we got to get Brian on the show.
That's awesome. No, it's people seem like they're really excited about it, and I'm happy to hear that. So yeah, I'm excited to see what people think. So hopefully you all enjoy it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Now, any final words to the fans at home or in the car, wherever?
Buy the book, follow, enjoy yourselves, make the most of life. I don't know. I'm not. This is my first time really doing this. So
fair enough.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you basically hit it on the point. Is it like buy the book? Well, yeah, yes. Keep me employed. I like eating.
Yeah,
buy the book.
Keep me employed.
Oh shit.
Right, Marvel, and tell them you want me to draw their new Winter Soldier series.
Oh fuck, they come out with it every couple years too. There's a book that lasts for a good year or two, and then it stops, and it comes back like 2 years later. So I bet your ass you're gonna see a Winter Soldier book. It's either in development or pre-development right now. So I think after that, there's a few people. Okay, fans who work at Marvel, this is your time to shine. You guys listen to the show. You tell me all the time. Here's your time to shine. Get Brian a job.
Oh, yes. Shit.
Alrighty. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in to this episode, and stay classy, comic fans.